Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Great American Senior Show. I'm your gray-haired host, Sam Yates, and back with us today, David Rozell. And David, you know, has been on the program before, and we got into a bit of things, discussion of what he does and how he does it, wealth advisor, world traveler, adventure to the absolute ninth degree. And I say that quite complimentary because David has found a way to merge all of the things that he enjoys doing and does so very well into a book. And David also does speaking engagements. Quite a fascinating person. But David, welcome back to the program.
Sam, it's great to be back here. You say the gray-haired host, but I always say that graying now means playing. So good on you.
Well, I appreciate that. And I do try to get a little play in once in a while. It comes with the territory of having that gray hair. But when we last left our wealth advisor hero, we were looking into the crystal ball and talking about things coming up into the future. You've been at this point in history before where there are things going on in the world that have a dynamic impact. And in particular, I'm thinking that the year was 1989. Was it in November, I believe, and you were in Europe? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, I was in Europe attending school the year before. I spent a year studying in London. And when I was in London, our German professor had a class going to Berlin. And we went there and saw the wall. And at that time, that was the number one fear that students had, was a fear of a nuclear war. We were right in the heart of the Cold War. And, sadly, today our heart goes out to the people of the Ukraine. And, you know, they always say history repeats itself, and it might be doing that right now. But at that time, we had never an inclination that in our lifetime, the wall would be coming down eventually and the Cold War would end. So a year later, November 9th, 1989, life found me in Istanbul, Turkey. And we were looking through the department store window at television sets, and it looked like the Berlin Wall was coming down. People were chopping at it. So I got on the next airplane, Air Yugoslavia, and flew directly into Berlin and was part of what might have been the biggest celebration planet Earth has ever experienced. It was incredible. That was the time when Ronald Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And the impossible truly became a reality. But where I tied it into the book was that who would have thought that the impossible would become a reality 20 short years later when the financial walls came tumbling down? And it's hard to imagine when we look back, but the largest financial firms in every sector either declared bankruptcy or no longer exist. And so the way that we do planning for people in the second half of their financial journey, those who are at or near retirement, has certainly changed since that time.
David, I mentioned earlier in the introduction that you're a speaker, you're a wealth advisor, you do many things. Tell us a bit about what you do as a professional speaker.
Well, speaking is certainly one of my core passions. It's just one of those things that I'd be doing, even if I wasn't getting compensated to do it. So I get called upon from different groups around the country, Vistage International, which is a group of CEOs, where I'm speaking next week in San Diego, to the Million Dollar Roundtable, and in other groups when they're looking for information on the second half of the journey, because the planning and the financial instruments that get us to the top of the financial mountain may not be the same types of planning and instruments that will help us get down the mountain and do so alive, which really means getting to the end of your life without outliving your resources, having peace of mind, and living the life that you've really always imagined.
If someone would like to engage you to be a speaker, or they know of a speaking opportunity, your book, or just in general, find out more about David Rozell, how can they go about doing that?
Oh, well, thank you for asking, Sam. They can certainly get the books at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Audible, but they can reach out to me directly, which I'm very open to. My email address is david@rosellwealthmanagement.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L. And my direct line is 541-385-8831.
I enjoy speaking to people that have an impact on other people's lives, a favorable impact, and certainly that is you. When you are looking at the opportunities someone may bring to the table as a potential client, what do you look for?
We have a very focused practice of, you know, who the right fit client is for our practice. And it's people who are at or near retirement. They have accumulated a certain amount of wealth. For us, we don't really advertise or promote this, but it's a $2 million minimum of investable assets because we find that we're able to be the most value to people with those types of challenges. And more importantly, it's just people that feel a good energetic bond with us, and we feel a very good energetic bond with them, because this is not a transactional relationship. This is a relationship where, as long as there's that mutual trust, it will last a lifetime.
What is your future? You're not on that downside too far that you don't have a future. What's the future hold for you?
Is that question for myself personally, my business, or a combination of both?
I think it would be a combination of both. I'm interested in both.
Yeah. So, you know, when I was younger, especially when I entered this business, my goal was to retire at as young an age as possible. And over the years, I've come across so many people who enter their years of retirement, the wind comes out of their sails. A matter of fact, any idea where the word retirement comes from, Sam? Well, most people aren't aware of this, but it comes from the Latin word retire, which means to end or be put out of use. Because two generations ago, people would work for the same company their whole career. They'd get that gold watch, and 3 years later, they were dead. And now people are retiring earlier, they're living longer, and they're spending 2, 3, 4 decades in these years. And no one that we know wants to end or be put out of use. So I've changed the terminology to being financially independent or independent of the paycheck, rather than that more negative word, retirement. So because I've learned from watching so many people enter these years or actually be put out of use, I have really re-geared my working life where I'm spending almost all of it doing my unique ability, which are the things that I'd be doing whether I was getting paid or not. And the things that I no longer find joy in, I'm elevating by delegating and getting people to do those tasks where it's their unique ability. And so I plan on continuing to work for several more decades, well into my 70s, working not as hard, but really looking to continue to keep joy in my life. Because I think the least selfish thing we can do in this lifetime is be happy. Because when we're happy, we're not a burden on anybody.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. And I admire you for being able to do that and have the commitment. So many people say they want to do something like that, and they just don't. And when they retire or they are no longer in use, they deteriorate very, very rapidly. Now, I want to change topic a little bit, because I know right now someone is smiling at you, and that's probably Grandma Ruth. You mentioned her in your book. I chuckled to myself that you have a photo of her that is in, was it in your conference room or in your office?
Yes, it's just right next door, right here in the conference room, a big picture. And people, when they first time they enter it, they always ask, who is that woman up on the wall? I'm delighted that you brought up one of my favorite people that has lived. And she made an enormous impact on people's lives, and especially my life at a young age. Grandma grew up and lived through the Great Depression. It was a time when a lot of women didn't attend college, and she graduated number one in her class at a Brooklyn college. And at a young age, she started taking my grandfather's average income and learned how to invest it. Back then, it was through a stockbroker into the markets. And I'll never forget, in my youth, I was 19 years of age. I had already started my first small business. And she said, "David, would you rather have a check for $1 million or this penny doubled every day for 30 days?" And with my infinite wisdom as a 19-year-old, I said, "Grandma, I'll take the $1 million check." So then she shows me this graph, which is actually in both of my books because it's so powerful, no matter what stage in our financial lives we're in. And I saw that one penny becomes two and then four and then 8 cents. And by the time we're at day 12, we're at $86,000. And I'm like, you know, I made the right choice. And it's those last few days where it goes from 100,000 to 200 to 400 to 8 to 1.6. And by the time you've doubled a penny for 30 days, you have over $5 million.
Because a lot of people don't realize that's exactly what happens when you double and double the double. So,
yeah, you know, Albert Einstein said the eighth wonder of the world is that of compound interest. And I learned that from Grandma Ruth. And she said to me, "David, if you ever want to be independent of the paycheck, you don't need to do anything extraordinary. You just need to do some ordinary things extraordinarily well. Rather than live on 100 or 110% of your paycheck, pay yourself first. Live on 90% of your paycheck. But if you do that at each and every paycheck, you're going to get extraordinary results."
Is that rule 72?
The rule of 72. That's a great one. Most people aren't familiar with that. And that's where you just take the average rate of return that you're getting. So let's say that your home is growing at 7% a year, or your Roth IRA is averaging 7% a year, you take that number seven and say, how many times does that go into 72, which would be 10 times. And that means that if you're averaging 7%, every 10 years, your money's going to double. If you're averaging 12%, 12% goes into 72 six times. Every 6 years, your money will double. So it's a way that you could look like a mathematical genius by just putting that quick formula right out there.
I want to jump back into your book, Failure is Not an Option, because when I read the book, certainly the financial information is there, the anecdotes are there, the adventure stories are there, and I know that you had several chapters. In particular, I went back and I highlight things. I do things the old-fashioned way. And use my marker and highlighted some things that I was going to talk about. Most of them I probably have forgotten to bring into the conversation. But one of the things in particular was retirement risk. And I think you covered that over multiple chapters. But I would like to ask Lieutenant Parker to tell us about those risks. And Lieutenant, before you tell us the risks, tell us about the lieutenant.
It's one of my favorite stories. It's where I got 5 of my 15 minutes of fame. Hopefully I have 10 minutes left. But one of the things I realize I enjoy doing is traveling to countries before we're quote unquote supposed to be. That included Cuba. And in this case, it was Vietnam. And it was the early 1990s. And President Clinton hadn't opened up the trade embargo. So just by being there with US dollars, you were trading in their eyes. So when I entered the country, I couldn't have them stamp my passport. And this was a time when there was virtually no tourism whatsoever. It was April of 1974 when we pulled out of Saigon and ended the war. And really nothing much had been happening since. And I landed and I was the only Westerner in sight. And serendipitously, the South Koreans were filming a documentary on the Vietnam War, and they said, "This is our opportunity." And they came running up to me so excited, offered me $25 on the spot. And one of the most surreal things imaginable was an hour and a half later, I was in downtown Saigon outside of the Rex Hotel where Dan Rather and the other correspondents were always headquartered. And I was behind these ropes where there were thousands of citizens watching this movie get filmed. And they didn't know whether I was a famous movie star or a famous general, but I was dressed up in this lieutenant's outfit. And Gary B. Turner was my name. And I was in this film. And I lead this into the financial lesson because the next day I went to the bank. And back in those days, we traveled with traveler's checks. And I had a $100 traveler's check. And that equated to 2.1 million Vietnamese dong at the time. And the largest note they had was a 1,000 note. So I walk out with a paper bag filled with over 2,000 notes going, what in the world am I going to do with all of this? Where am I going to put it? It's larger than my backpack.
Not conspicuous at all.
Not conspicuous at all. So in the book, I had this picture of me throwing up cash in the air in my room going, what in the world am I going to do? But it really brought back the impact of inflation. And inflation is something that's on the top of mind awareness for all of us listening to your podcast show today. Inflation that year was over 100% in Vietnam. But it reverts back to the law of averages in the United States. Yes, inflation is between 8 and 9%. Yes, inflation was at 18% in 1980, but it always reverts to the law of averages. Any idea what inflation averages, Sam? Most people don't know, but it averages between 3 and 4%. So back to your law of 72, Sam, if we take 3.5% inflation and put that into 72, mathematically, every 20 years, the cost of living doubles. So if we look at inflation in any single year and something that's $100 this year, next year on average is going to be $103.50, no big deal. But if you're 40 years old and you're talking to a financial advisor and you say, my goal is to live on, let's just use simple math, $100,000 a year in today's dollars, and I want to retire at 60, we need to have enough money in that account on the top of the financial summit to take out $200,000 that year. Now you're 20 years in, and we know how fast 20 years goes in, and you're 80 years young, where graying does mean playing, because these days people are trading in their rocking chair for their stand-up paddle boards and golf clubs. You now need to take out $400,000 to buy what $100,000 buys today. And the fastest growing portion of our population are centenarians, people turning 100. Hallmark greetings cards sold 75,000 100th birthday cards last year. And that same person would need to take out $800,000 to buy what $100,000 bought when they were 40. And so the tougher we are on ourselves today, the easier life will be on us later.
And I think those are some of the things that when someone reads your book or they go onto your website, you know, they come away. Again, I find myself coming away from reading the book with aha moments. And another aha moments was with ETFs. ETFs, before I read the book, I really didn't pay too much attention to them, exchange traded funds. Now, that little analogy you used in the book, you know, I see those new cars all over the place. Explain a little bit about ETFs.
Yeah, it's it is similar, as I mentioned, like you might buy a new car and the day before you bought it, you know, you'd see tons of them on the road, but you didn't pick up on it. And then all of a sudden you drive off the lot and now all of a sudden you pick up on everyone else driving that same car. And if you haven't heard of ETFs or not familiar with them, you're going to all of a sudden see them everywhere. ETFs, we started working with them in 2003. And more money has been invested into ETFs in the last 6-7 years than all the mutual funds combined. And I am here certainly not to put down owning individual securities, individual bonds, mutual funds, because I owned them myself for many years. But the modern day investing from a tax mitigation perspective from a diversification and the cost of ownership, I am a firm believer that a portion of all of our portfolios could benefit by owning exchange-traded funds. So I highly recommend learning more about them and speaking to your financial advisors about them.
One of the topics that surprisingly comes up as I speak to attorneys working with seniors is cryptocurrency. That is now coming more into the picture. How do you take a look at that and advise with cryptocurrency, since it seems to be so volatile lately?
Yeah, it is volatile. Gold is a wonderful asset class to own too, and that's probably the most volatile of all the asset classes. It's been shown that if you put a small percentage of something more volatile into an overall portfolio, you have the potential to get higher returns and actually lower the risk because of diversification. With that being said, I'm all in favor of people having a small portion of their portfolio in a diversified asset class like crypto. I don't think crypto is going anywhere, even though it's taking a big hit. A lot of people are looking for the new shiny object, and they're putting most, if not all, of their savings into that asset class. And that is a precarious thing to do. The thing is that we're working with people in the second half of their financial journey. They've already accumulated wealth. And I believe in that case, the return of their money takes precedence over the return on their money. There's no need to take their wealth and create multiples of it if they're already able to live the life that they've imagined. I know a lot of your listeners are golfers, but when you hit the top of the financial summit, there are no mulligans. There are no second chances. So I'm going to say that one more time, Sam. When you're in the second half of the journey, the return of your money should take precedence over the return on it. But yet we need to outpace that magical word that we already discussed, inflation.
We'll keep an eye on that. David, before I go too much further, because I'm watching the time to make sure we keep these within a prescribed limit that our listeners can listen to comfortably, will you be able to come back at some point again? I know I'm going to twist your arm a little bit.
Sam, it would be my honor.
And again, the best way to contact David Rozelle is?
David@RozelleWealthManagement.com. And if you're out there listening, you're more than welcome to reach out to me directly here at the office. And that's 541-385-8831.
David, thank you for being here, and I look forward to having you back in the future.
Sam, such a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure to share with you someone who has the knowledge of wealth so that you too, all of you in our audience, can go away with a bit of wealth of information. So that being said, until our next episode of the Great American Senior Show, I'm your gray-haired host, Sam Yates, and that's the way our program ends.